our Father and our King. This morning as your church, we just lift up our voices together to say, blessed be your name. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather this morning together to spend this time with you as a church. Lord, we ask that even as we look at your word, even as we discuss together this morning, that you will touch every heart that is here. Lord, that you bring comfort to every soul that is here. Lord, that you will touch everyone that is here. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen and amen. Can you please look at the person who is standing next to you and just say, on behalf of Pastor Benson, welcome. Welcome to the 19th of January. It was as if it was just the 31st yesterday and I blinked and now we're in the middle of the month. I'm sure before we know it, it will be summer, then Christmas, then you guys will be thinking about the Christmas present you're going to give Pastor Benson. But I can make it easy for you. I can do a list now so you can start preparing for Christmas. It's great to see our lovely faces this morning. All right, so what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to continue from where Deaconess Remy got to last week. So what we do as a church is on a monthly basis, we try and get a sense of what God is speaking to us as a church. And we now go through what we believe God is speaking to us for that month. And we do it in form of teaching series. So this month, we're looking at a topic, or should I say like a question to us. And that question to us is, does my life count? Or should I say, does your life count? So it's a very personal question. And at the beginning of the year, actually, as we're moving into the new year from last year, I said we should really reflect on this question, does my life count in the context of what God wants to do in my life, or should I say in your life and in the life of the people around you? So what we're looking at is this, one thing that would answer that question for you is actually your life. So God might not come to you and ask you that question directly and say, Pastor Benson, can I have a conversation with you and ask me directly, do you think your life counts? No, he wouldn't do that. But what happens is that my life would answer that question. The way I live my life, the view I have about myself would answer that question. So that's what we're looking at this month. And today we're going to look at the story of a man in the Bible called Moses. Moses. I remember when I was growing up, and when I was much younger, which was not too long ago, we had this, there was no, just, to, I'm going to, if you laugh, or if you like, look at me funny, then I'm going to see you after the service. In those days, there was no internet, and the type of, we had like a video player in those days, and it was like a big fat video player called Betamax. If you don't know what that means, or you don't know, just don't worry, that means you're not born before 1980. So in those days, some homes had this like video player called Betamax, and you had three films, just three films. Everybody had three films, and those are the films that you watched on Sundays or on special holidays, year after year, just those three films. One of those films was Sound of Music. I mean, you had to watch it. We watched it over and over again. So that was, you know, tick. One of the other films that we had then was The Ten Commandments. That's the one that had the story of Moses. I know they're different versions now, but all the versions that you guys have now, they're not the original one. They're not. You know, you have to go back to the proper classics. And the third one, which was one of my favorites, was Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee. I remember in those days when I was in my my primary school, I used to walk about like this, my primary school, like this, because I felt, I mean, anybody, if I walked there, like, there were several walks that I had, right? If I was walking like this, normal walk, if I was walking like this, then you would know that this guy has just watched the Bruce Lee movie. So, and I used to, believe it or not, I used to fight quite a bit then. So if I saw Bruce Lee do like a move, then I would go to my school and just demonstrate it. So I was a good student. I was good. And then coming back to this, you guys are making me like digress this morning. This is meant to be a serious sermon. So, but on a serious note, now we're looking at the story of a man called Moses. So Moses was the one that God gave the Ten Commandments to that we have like so many movies about. And there's something quite interesting about the life of this man that reflects maybe in our lives as well, one way or the other. So Moses was a man who, at a point in his life, he didn't think his life mattered. At a point in his life, he didn't think his life mattered. He just thought, well, my life is just, now I'm just going to lay low, go to Tesco's, buy my lunch, come back home, buy, watch Neighbors, if you watch that, and just repeat every day. I'll wake up when I'm 90 years old, and maybe I might be alive by then. So his life, in his own view, didn't really matter. So I'm going to read a portion of scripture about the life of Moses, then I'll highlight a number of things. So the one I want to read now is from the book of Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 to 12. It's quite a long read. So this is where Moses is going about his business, just tending sheep. He was like a shepherd. And God appears to him in form of a burning bush. So that's the background to the story. And I'll read Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over there and I'll see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn. So he's going about his business and he sees the fire. He sees a bush that's burning, but it's not really burning, but there's fire on it. So he says, I'm going to look at what's happening here. So Moses goes there. Then verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. He says, do not come closer, God said. Take off your shoes, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So he knew that it was God that was speaking to him. I'll go on and says in verse 7, the Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of the land of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. And now the cry of Israel, the Israelites, has reached me. I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So go now, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So he sees this fire burning, or this bush burning, but it's not really burning. And he goes to see what's happening there. Then God begins to speak with him. And God begins to tell him that, look, Moses, you're the one that is going to help my people who are trapped in Egypt. You're the one that's going to bring them out to the promised land. So that was what God said to him. Then verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this is a sign that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So Imagine this scenario. Moses is going about his business, not expecting God to say, not expecting anything at all. He's just walking down the road. He walks past the church. Hello, Pastor Benson. Says hello to his neighbors. He goes into his house. Normal thing. And he's now walking down the road. He sees something burning. He approaches it. God begins to speak with him. Now, God now tells him that he's the one that is going to help deliver his people from Egypt. So let's give you a scenario here. So let's say, for example, you guys were, like you're here now. Then suddenly you have to emigrate to somewhere like Afghanistan. Do you guys know where Afghanistan is? Do you know where it is? You guys, it's like geography lesson. Well, if you don't know where Afghanistan is, it's not the place that you'd want to be. It's like really dreary, hot. You can't, I mean, it's like a really bad place to be. So imagine that you were there. From Bristol, maybe last year, someone just came and said, okay, let's go to, I'm going to take all of you to Afghanistan, and they leave you there. And maybe before you went to Afghanistan, they sold you a story. You didn't really know much about Afghanistan. And they said, look, the sun's shining, you know, you don't have to do much. It's a relaxed place. So they trick you and you go to Afghanistan. When you get there, they seize your passports and you can't leave. And it's like, man, where's the holiday that they sold to me? No holiday, no running water. Everything is really terrible. And besides, you're forced to work in a factory 12 hours a day without pay. There are no sick days, no Saturdays and Sundays off. Every single day, you had to turn up at that factory 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. And you had 2 rations of food, one in the morning and one in the evening. And you did that year after year after year after year without pay. How would you feel about that? And besides, no Instagram or Facebook, no internet, no running water. How would you feel? Would you be excited about that? Well, the Israelites found themselves in a place where their situation was even worse than that. Because it happened to them, it happened to their children, their children's children. So it was a really bad thing. It wasn't something that happened for a year. It was something that was perpetual. These guys, they cried out to God and said, God, help us. Help us. This is enough. Help us. Help us. Then God sees you walking on the road there. You're coming to church in the morning. And suddenly he says, Sister Shay, it's like, who's called me here? And you say bush burning. And you approach it. And God says, it is I, the Lord. And you know it's God speaking, right? And he begins to speak with you. And he says, today, I have heard all my people that are in Afghanistan. And by the way, I have nothing against Afghanistan. Let's just put that on the record. I'm just using it as an example. I have heard the prayers of my people in Afghanistan. Maybe your cousins were actually there as well. You just escaped narrowly. I've heard the cry of my people in Afghanistan. They've been there for years. Now, Sister Shay, I'm just using Sister Shay as an example. You're the one that's going to go there and release them from the Afghanistan government who are guarding the borders, who will shoot at sight anyone that comes near this place. What would your response be? I'm just curious. What would your response be? Well, my response would be, my life would go past me. My response would be, man, there's Tesco's, Sainsbury's, I get my yogurt from there in the afternoon. I have my Sunday lunch. I'm in the choir here. Sometimes I sing. I don't want, I mean, What does that have to do with me in the first place? So Moses' response to God was, you've got the wrong person here. You have the wrong person here. This has nothing to do. I don't have an army. I'm not in government. I don't have anything. And you're saying I should go to Afghanistan to rescue these people who have been there for 400 years under God. The guards will shoot to kill. What are you saying? That was Moses' situation. Now, how does that relate to us? His situation was slightly more extreme, you know, like I've described now. You might be like, man, that's unfair. How did God expect him to do that? So let's put Moses aside, okay? Let's put Moses' story to the side for a minute. And let's talk about you and I. So God comes to you and not like in a burning bush, like you read the Bible. And God says to you, or it pops out to you in the Bible, or someone tells you that, look, do you know that God wants to use your life to affect the people around you? Do you know that all the things that you're experiencing in your life, maybe sometimes you're depressed, maybe sometimes you're like just worn out. Do you know that God can change that in your life? And not only that, do you know that God can also use you to make the lives of other people around you better with the Bible? Do you know God wants you to teach people the Bible? Do you know God wants you to pray for people who are going through hard times so that God can touch them? Do you know that God wants you to, and the list goes on. And the list goes on. And the list goes on. And our response might be, well, I'm not quite sure I want to do that. There's Pastor Benson can do that. There are quite a few people in the church who can sing, who can preach, and all those things. God, what? I mean, I just want to come to church once in a while on a Sunday, sit down, listen to the sermon. By the way, that's great. Grab some tea at the back. If there's coffee, I'll have that. If they're like those croissant things, I'll, you know, get one of those as well. Then I'll go home very quietly after that. Very quietly. Maybe I might say a few hi's to the people at church, but I'm going to go home quietly so that I can just return to my normal everyday life. Wake up in the morning, drop my kids at school if you have kids, or if you're in school, I'll go to school, study a bit, come back home, check what's happening on Instagram, check what's happening on Facebook. But I heard that Facebook is for older people. Whatever. And my life will just be under the radar. Under the radar. Nothing, no stress at all. So basically, Moses was saying to God, I don't think my life really counts. Okay, that's a bit extreme. How about you? As I'm saying these things to us, what's going through our minds? And by the way, as you know, I think someone was saying, oh man, Pastor Benson, you need to preach some messages that are a bit cheerful. This is a cheerful message, by the way. I'm just making us reflect. So in the case of Moses, he didn't think his life counted in that context. You could say, well, I don't blame him. That's quite a tall thing, tall order. Very difficult thing for God to be asking him. How about you and I? How about you and I? Do we think our life really matters? Do we think that God really is interested in you at all? First of all, do you even think that God can be so interested in you that he transforms you, makes your life different, to the point where you are also able to help other people and make their lives different in the context of God? Do you think God can do that through you? Do you think God cares enough about you to do that? That's the question. Do you think your life really counts? Do you think you're just like a dot on the map amongst billions of people? Why would God be interested in you in the first place? Is that what you think? Well, Moses thought that as well. And he said, God, just let somebody else do this. Let somebody else do this. I remember years and years ago when my family and I lived in West London. And I remember we lived in West London and went to the branch of this church in London. That was maybe about 9 or so years ago. And we attended that church in the branch of this church in West London. Sunday mornings, I wasn't like a pastor who was responsible for anything there. I was a pastor after a while, but I mean, there were like almost 20 other pastors there. So basically, I showed up on a Sunday, sat in front. The choir was there. I drank tea, biscuits after the service. I went home, drove home after the service, had Sunday lunch. And that was where my responsibilities ended. If anybody wanted anything to do, so if anyone had any questions, they would talk to the senior pastor. So I was fine, actually. And one day I was going to work from West London to Central London, and I had a whisper. God whispering to me about Bristol. So I was like, I mean, what does that have to do with me? I ignored it. As I got to the church the next day or that day, a senior pastor calls me to his office. He says, Pastor Benson, let me see you in my office. I was like, God, I hope I haven't done anything wrong today. And he now begins to tell me about Bristol, that this is what God told him about Bristol. This is what God told him about me and Bristol. And do you know what I did? I just said, thank you very much, sir. And I left it. And in my mind, right on the spot, I said, forget it. I've just been ordained as a pastor maybe about a year before. Have I ever planted a church before? No. Have I ever pastored a church before? No. There's so many pastors in this church that know the Bible inside out that can do all, pick one of them. So I left it. I said, I'm just going to live my life cool. Come to church, do the bit I can do, and go home. So I didn't think my life really counted, really. Do you understand? So I left it for months. I didn't tell even my family members then. Not one person. I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not, because I'd seen other people try to start churches and it was tough, really tough. And I said, I'll do what I can in this local church, but to start a church, forget it. So I kept quiet, but God just kept, he was on my case day after day, month after month. Then in the third month, I said, okay, God, okay. Do you get what I mean? Okay. That's when we moved to Bristol. Now, that's another story on its own. So I just thought, well, I'm not quite sure I can do anything. I mean, I can read the Bible, that's fine. I can, but apart from that, that's where I thought everything with regards to my life ended. So the same thing with Moses, the same thing with you. How about if I asked you, sitting here, said, okay, in 6 months, you're going to be teaching right here. I'll take you through like training. I'll show you how to teach, show you how to study the Bible and all that. 6 months from now, you're going to be doing everything that I can do here. What would your reaction be? Would you say, yes, Pastor Benson? I know some of you might be thinking, if this pastor is serious, I'm not turning up to church next week. I know where you live. How would you react? So in my context then as well, like Moses, I had the talk. I was talking, yeah, God's good. God's great. God can do all these things. But deep in my heart, that wasn't what I was saying. Because deep in my heart, I didn't think my life counted that much. I didn't think so. So, Moses was in the same situation as well. He didn't think his life really mattered that much. That's the first thing. Now, what happened to Moses? Why did he think that? Because this same Moses used to attend church a long time ago. In fact, this same Moses was so passionate. He was the first to get to church every Sunday, Friday, Wednesday. He was in the choir. Moses was so vibrant. He was so passionate about God. Then something happened to him. And the passion disappeared. The passion disappeared. What happened to Moses? What really, really went wrong with him? Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. It says, one day Moses had grown up. This was Moses when he was a lot younger. When God met him, he was about 80. This was Moses when he was like late 30s. One day Moses had grown up. He went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Man, that was mean. Yeah, you beat that. So when that happened, Moses ran away, and that's where his passion for God ended. So for this, in the case of Moses, he started to go to church. He became gradually excited about God. He liked the music, the choir, particularly if Pastor Benson was playing the guitar. He liked the preaching, if it's Deaconess Remy that was teaching. He liked all those things, and he was like, yeah, I think I'm getting closer to God now. I think things are looking up. Then something happens. Something unpleasant happens. So in the case of Moses, he killed someone, and he was like, man, that's the end of it. God can never have anything to do with someone who's murdered someone. Am I recommending that we do that? No, not so. So something happened in his life. And that just took the passion away. And he just thought, well, I'm just going to lie low. Nothing good can come from my life anymore. Maybe someone disappointed him in church. Maybe someone said something that was really heart-wrenching to him. Maybe someone took him for granted in church. Maybe someone backbit against him. Maybe someone hurt him in church. And he was like, well, I've had it. Or maybe he did something that he was so ashamed of that, man, if the church folks knew that I did this, they would not want to have anything to do with me. Let me just take a back seat. In the case of Moses, he killed someone. In our case, it could be anything. It could be anything. Maybe a struggle from the past. But whatever it was, or whatever it is for us, Moses just thought, I've failed. There's no point trying any further. I'm just going to leave under the radar. So, we see here the life of a man who didn't think his life mattered because something had happened to him. He had an experience in his life that was so defining for him that he just thought, well, that's the end. God can't have anything to do with me again. So that was what Moses was thinking. And like I said, he was just living life under the radar. Exodus chapter 3 verse 1 says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. So this guy was just taking life easy. Waking up in the morning, going to work, coming back. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Going to school. If he had any assignments to do, maybe he did it. Came back and just carried on with his life. Now, you might look at me and say, Pastor B, why are you making such a big fuss? What's there with living life under the radar? Can't I just do my own thing and just take my life easy? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. If Moses had refused and just lived his life under the radar, God will have still loved him. If you choose, when I say if you, I'm not saying you, like you. I'm using that in the third person. If you choose to just come to church on a Sunday like this, which I love, and just believe that, well, there's nothing good that can come or nothing extra that can come from my life to help anyone around there. Maybe I might just like say a bit hi, give them like, pour them tea and biscuits and that should do. If you want to live your life that way, if I want to live my life that way, guess what? God still loves you. God's not going to be upset with you. Do you understand? God still loves you. If I had chosen not to come to Bristol and I was in London, man, God still loves me. I'll still be at the London church enjoying the teas and biscuits after the service. God will still love you. So what's the big fuss here? What is the big fuss here? Why am I making such a big fuss of it on a Sunday morning? If I ended here now, I'd be like, yeah, you're cool. Go, live your life, be cool. But there's a slight challenge to that, if that's the way we want to live our lives. I'll mention three things here. If Moses had chosen just to live his life under the radar, let me read Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. Moses finally agrees to go and do what God wants him to do. And he leads the people out of Egypt. Imagine the people who are trapped, as I was using in my example, in Afghanistan. Maybe some of your relatives are in Afghan, your friends, different people are there. And God has said you should go there and you don't. God still loves you. But look at this, Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. I'll mention three things here. So this is the first one. It says the Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. So if we multiply that by three, assuming that we had like one child and one woman, 1,800,000. 1,800,000. If Moses hadn't made the move, at least 1,800,000 people would still be suffering in pain, in anguish. His relatives would still be in anguish there. His friends that he grew up with, that he left there, would still be in anguish. The children, his nieces, his uncles, all those people would still be in anguish. But Moses didn't know that because he hadn't got to Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. He didn't think that was possible. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying here is this. If you're sat here this morning and you're thinking, and this is not to make you feel guilty, by the way. If you're sat here this morning and you're thinking the way I was thinking years ago, that I just want to leave my life under the radar, then it is possible that our refusal to agree with God will not only have an impact on you, but on a lot of people. A lot of people. A lot of people. So it's not really just about you. It's not really just about you. Do you understand? It's not really just about you. The same way that I know now that it's not just really all about me at all. So I said I want to mention three things this morning from the story of Moses. That's the first one. That if you and I do not come to the place where we agree with God, and I'll tell us how we do that in a moment, then it could affect other people that you are not even aware of. And when I say it could affect other people, there are a number of things that God does for us. The Bible says Jesus came to establish a number of things. One, to save us from the power of sin, to save us from the oppression of the devil, to give us peace that passes all understanding. Do you understand? Those are the things that, some of the things that Jesus came to do for us. So, there's so many people that our lives can touch that we're not even aware of. So it's not just about you and I. If I'd stayed in West London, I'd still be cool, but I wouldn't have come across any of you. There won't be a choir. There won't be any of this here. None of this would be here. You're probably like, well, maybe I'll have gone to another church. I understand. But I wouldn't have met any of you. I wouldn't have met any of your children. Do you understand? None of you. So if you ask me, was it worth it for me? Yes. It was worth it. Was it worth it for Moses? Definitely. Do you want it to be worth it for some of the people that you do not know, that God wants to affect with your life? I believe so. So, it's not just about you and I. It's about other people as well. Now, I said I was going to mention three things. So that's the first one. That is not just about you and I. So the next thing is, okay, Pastor Benson, you said all these things. Yeah, man, I don't really want to go to Afghanistan, but I want to make my life count. I want to, you know. How did Moses shift from his life didn't count to the place where his life began to count? Very simple in word. So the second thing is this. How do we begin to move from the place where we feel so, let me not say so. How do we begin to move to the place where our life begins to count in the lives of other people? And our lives begin to count to us. Isaiah chapter 43 verses 18 and 19. The first one, Isaiah 43 verses 18 to 19. It says here, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. It says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So the second point is this. God is saying in this portion of scripture that forget all the bad things that have happened to you in the past. He's not saying ignore them. But he says, look, you and I need to let go of the past. Moses had to let go of the fact that he had killed someone and that wasn't the determinant of what God wanted to do with him. So the first thing that we need to do is to shake off the guilt of the past. Shake off the things that have happened to you with God's help so that you can move forward. So that you can move forward. But if you're going to move forward, you need to give all those things that have happened to you in the past to God and say, God, this really hurt me in the past. I did this, I did that. Help me. Heal my heart, my soul from this thing that happened to me, so that you can move forward. So the first thing is that God is saying, look, leave your past behind with his help. Leave your past behind so that you can move forward. Moses had to do that. Otherwise, he will have been stuck. Oh man, I killed someone. And yes, we know you did that. We're not endorsing that. But you need to move forward. You need to. And the third and final thing is this. These things that I'm saying they're quite simple. God isn't asking for anything that is beyond our reach. He's not saying, go and fast 100 days on, what's the highest mountain in Wales? What's that one, that hill near your house? Snowdon. These guys have a lot of like hills in Wales. I was telling Prince, we went to visit them once, well, a few times. And when you're going to driving to Wales, you've got all these hills, really nice sights and all that. And I was telling Prince, wow, these sights are so nice. Do you guys like go on walks and all that? He just looked at me funny and just kept on driving because he picked me up from the station. And the look he gave me was almost like, I didn't even know those mountains existed. You're the one that just pointed it out to me. Mountains, oh, so there are mountains here. I just shook my head. I said, you and that your friend that lives in the other side of Wales, that you guys lock yourself in the study day to night. I'm going to ask your wives to yank you out of the study, push you outside and kick you outside so that you can get fresh air. So God isn't saying we should go and fast 40 days and 40 nights on a mountain somewhere. If you want to do that, that's fine. I have a number of prayer points I can give you. Just let me know. If you want to do that, that's fine. But God's not asking us to do any of that complicated stuff. He's saying, leave your past behind. And the third and final thing is this. Moses did something that really struck me. And it's the same thing that we need to do as well. Very simple. And God says I have quite a few scriptures here. So God wants us to know him. He wants us to spend our time knowing him. Now, Exodus chapter 33, verse 7, the first part, it says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. So Moses took time often just to be with God. What does that mean in our context? Making time every day as you can to read the Bible, read about God, study about God, and pray to God and begin to know him. So Moses focused on really building his relationship with God. And what God said in Psalm 103 verse 7 says, he made his ways known to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. John 17 verse 3, it says, Jesus was saying here, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. So some people came to Jesus and they were asking him, what must we do to gain eternal life? What do we need to do, Jesus, to really be, almost saying, to be in your good books? They didn't say that, by the way. They wanted to do something. And Jesus just answered. He says, look, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom he has sent. And I'll stop there. So what have I said this morning? I've said that, look, Your life and my life would answer that question, which is, do you think your life really counts? And the resounding answer to that question, from God's perspective, is a big yes. Your life really counts to God. He wants you to move ahead from the past, move forward, forget the past. He wants you to know that your life will affect the people around you eventually. And he wants you to focus on knowing him. And as you know God, he begins to work out all these things in your life. Do we understand? So this morning, I'm just going to ask that we rise up and we pray. So I think I was telling someone that, look, I keep things really simple. I try not to complicate things because God is simple. God doesn't want us to, he doesn't want to, you know, add to the complications in our lives. He wants to simplify our lives. So one prayer I'm going to ask us that we pray this morning is a personal prayer to God. And the prayer I'd like us to pray to God this morning is to say, God, you said my life counts, but I'm not quite sure about that. Please help me to see that my life counts. Ask God to help you to see that your life makes a big difference to him. That's the prayer I'm going to ask that we pray this morning. It's a personal prayer that God, I'm not quite sure that my life counts, but your word says that my life counts. God says that he has engraved you on the palm of his hands. He says your walls are continually before him. So God is saying this morning to you through his word, he says, look, your life counts. Just move forward with your life, with my help. Let me help you. So this morning, just ask that God will help you. Help you to see that your life really counts to him. Our Father and our King, we just want to thank you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that your word tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29:11 that you know the plans that you have for us, plans to prosper us, to give us hope and a future. Lord, you've asked that we move forward because our lives count to you. You have people in our lives that you want to touch through us, and you want to touch even us as well. Lord, this morning I commit your people into your hands. Lord, I'm asking that you will bring healing to every hurt from the past in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking that you will bring strength into the lives of your people where they are tired. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name.